Hey, good to see you all. And you know, in last meeting we talked about, you know, the servants of the world and the servants of God. And then we talked about the devil quite often, you know, make use of something appear to be good to lead people away from God. And quite often people let themselves to be entrapped by the devil because of their selfishness, but also because of the fear of suffering. But God the Father pointed out to St. Catherine of Siena that the people of the world, they suffer more than the people of God, than the servants of God. Because, you know, the servants of God, they know how to conform their will to the will of God. They know the suffering of the world is only as small as time. And so even though suffering might harm them physically, but not so much spiritually. Although the servants of the world, you know, because of their identify themselves not with God but with the earth, with worldly things, so when they lose earthly things, they suffer much more. And also because they identify with earthly things, you know, they never being satisfied. And so in that way, even though all people cannot escape sufferings here on earth, but the people are servants of the world, they suffer more than the servants of God. And then God the Father also mentioned to St. Catherine about the servants of God practice the commandment, because we must put faith into practice, but also practice the evangelical counsel, either materially or at least in spirit. And so for people who, like for example, own things, you know, with humility, but also see things is lended to them by God. So, you know, with that attitude, then it's much more easy to not to identify with the earth, but with God himself. When we see everything that we have, you know, we're actually given to us by God, you know, as land to us. So, when we continue, think about that image again. You know, the river, people who are servants of the world flow on the river, the water. And people who walk on the bridge of Christ, they are the servants of God. But even among the servants of God, there are different stages in the spiritual life. There are those who are quite imperfect. There are those who are more perfect. And of those who are most perfect. Now, really easy, huh? So for those who are imperfect are the ones that they serve God. They choose to walk on the bridge out of fear. You know, somebody, you know, hear Father Anthony Ho preach on hell. You know, you will burn there, you know. And so he's scared. So he goes the long line for confession that day after the sermon on hell. So, quite like me, you know, they line up because of the fear of hell. Which is good. Thank God for that, you know. Make a good confession, you know. But it's not enough to make to heaven, just with fear. So, because quite often if we have only fear, and that's not, that relationship with God is based on fear, if you are afraid of something else, like you fear of suffering, may cause you to abandon the bridge and jump back to the water. So it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. It's good that you have that fear, because that's the first stage. But it's not sufficient. So we have to move on. We have to continue to make progress in the spiritual life. So now you have the second stage, you know, the more perfect. The more perfect, you know, are the one who serve God out of love rather than fear. But their love for God is self-seeking, with self-interest, seeking for self-profit. So, is with selfish motive there. So quite often, those kind of people, when they don't feel the comfort of doing good thing, they will become lazy. They may fall into lukewarm. And so they serve God because they feel good when they pray. They serve God when they feel good when they're doing good thing. But when they don't feel good, then they don't want to do it anymore. So, God the Father especially used the example of St. Peter. St. Peter, you know, at first he was quite imperfect when he loved Jesus. He loved Jesus tenderly. And because he really enjoyed the company of Jesus, the pleasure with him, you know, so he really, he loved Jesus, but out of self-interest. And so later on, when Jesus was in trouble, and St. Peter feared of suffering, and he denied Jesus 3 times. And after that, he was weeping, but even his weeping was imperfect. And then until after the ascension, what happened? He locked himself up. He locked himself up with the other disciples. And that, you know, helped him to pass from being imperfect to become perfect. The prayer. And then when the Holy Spirit came, then he was, you know, full of selfless love. And he proclaimed Jesus. So, you know, that he reached the 3rd stage, which is the most perfect. To serve God with selfless love. With that selfless love. And so it's really important for us, you know, to aim for that love, the selfless love. You know, to love God without self-interest. To love God because of who he is. Now, no matter what stage we are at, the essential thing is to kill the selfish love in ourselves. That's what we should be always aim to do. To kill the selfish love in ourselves. And, you know, of course, you know, to kill the selfish love, to put it positively, is to practice self-giving love. You know, that you, at John Paul II, oftentimes, you know, telling people, you know, the purpose of life, you find it by self-giving. And then one of his favorite passages of the Vatican Council is that, you know, man can only find himself by a sincere gift of himself, by a sincere gift of self. And so it's a sign of self-giving. And so if you think about that, also God the Father contrasts the different kind of, you know, fear. The thing about that is the servile fear and the filial fear. Servile fear is you are afraid, you know, because you fear of punishment. So that's the first kind of relationship, you know, afraid of God, you know, and so have that servile fear because afraid of going to hell. But as we grow in our love for God, our fear is not just a servile fear, but also filial fear, the fear of a child. And that's one of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord. And that is because we respect God. We don't want to sin. Not because we are afraid of the punishment, but because we know that sin offends God. Because out of love for God, we don't want to sin. And so that's the difference between the servile fear and the filial fear. And then when we have servile fear, we are afraid. We are afraid. But when there is the filial fear, you know, when there is the charity, that love for God, that casts out fear, it casts out servile fear. And so we have that charity and filial fear that we continue to respect God. Doesn't mean you don't afraid. Doesn't mean that you just sin, you know. But you still have that deep respect for God, but not because of the fear of punishment, but because you know sin is something that is pleasing to God. It's something that God doesn't like it, so you don't want to do it. And then also God the Father also mentioned, you know, love is more perfect than the fear. He mentioned about the old law and the new law. He mentioned that, you know, in the old law builds on fear. Thunder, you know, lightning. And then when you commit a crime, Moses immediately inflict the punishment. So people are fear. People were afraid. So old law builds on fear. But the new law builds on love. So God give people, God didn't inflict punishment immediately under the new law. But the punishment is waited until we die. So God the Father mentioned to St. Catherine, right now, here on earth, is a season of mercy. And then when we die, it's a season of justice. So right now, we are in the season of mercy. So we have to make use of the mercy of God, you know, to obtain forgiveness, to grow in virtues. And then when we die, it's a seat of mercy, of justice. And one of the things we can think about is that we talk about purgatory. You know, they cannot pray for themselves. They are in the season of justice. But we are in the season of mercy. We can actually apply mercy to them by praying for them. But they can no longer marry for themselves. They are in the season of justice. But we are still in the season of mercy. We can make use mercy for ourselves, but also for them too. But only us can apply for them. They cannot help themselves. So that season of mercy, season of justice. And then, and the new law, more perfect, of course, than the old law, the law of love. And also, God the Father mentioned about that, you know, I remember there is a superior of a religious. And he is like that. If his subjects treat him as a master, then he would treat them like a master. He would be like a master, treating his servant. But if his subjects treat him like a father, then he will be also treating them like children. You know, treat them really, really like loving children. So the kind of love that the particular saints receive from his subjects, the kind of love he responds back. And it's also like that with God. If we see him as our master and we his servant, then he will treat us like servant. When we do something good, he will reward us. You know, he will reward us. But he would not show himself to us. He would not share his secret with us. Because secret is only shared with friends, you know. Because you are one with your friend, you know, in your heart. And you only share secret with friends. And so God the Father mentioned, you know, if you treat God as a loving father, as best friend, then God will share his secret with you. So we're thinking about, you know, in the first stage, people are working like missionary, slave, out of fear. In the second stage, more perfect, they are God's faithful servant, but not quite perfect. They serve God with a bit selfish love, self-seeking love. In the third stage, when they are more perfect, they are God's friend and children. God share his secret with them. Now, when we have love for God and love for others, you know, God the Father also help us to see how is our love like. He say, now how do we know if we are imperfect? There are some sign there. Our love for God is imperfect if we lose the comfort. We see how we react. You know, if people losing comfort, they give themselves all kind of excuse. Oh, not worth doing this, you know. It's not worth praying that, saying that kind of prayer. I don't feel good when I pray that. I don't feel the consolation. Or I don't like to do this job anymore. I don't feel consolation. So when you have that attitude, you tend to give up, become lazy when you don't feel comfort. You know, then it's an indication that you are still quite imperfect. A lot of self-seeking in your relationship with God. But God mentioned, you know, quite often he take away the comfort to let them grow up. Because a lot of time we want to serve God in our little children, you know, we serve God for the candy. So God take away the candy so that you can serve God with a pure heart. But he mentioned, when I take away comfort, I don't take away the grace. The grace is still there. So God is still there, he just take away the comfort. But he give us grace to grow. But people, sometimes they don't like to grow, they just want to be babies. So they continue to, you know, when they lose the comfort, they were yelling and screaming, you know, they are not happy. But also, you know, God the Father mentioned, if our love for God is imperfect, our love for others also become also imperfect. Sometimes we can have spiritual love for people, but sometimes even that spiritual love can be imperfect. Can be imperfect. So he mentioned about some sign, you know, that if we are, how do we see if and our love for other people is imperfect? So he mentioned, if you are distressed
When it seems that those you love are not returning your love or not loving you as much as you think you love them. Or if you are distressed, when it seems to you that you are being deprived of their company or comfort, or that they love someone else more than you.
So when our love for others is also with self-interest, it's so easy for us to get upset over a little thing, you know, and also get jealous, you know, jealousy. So that's what happened, you know, when our love for God is imperfect, our love for others also imperfect. So, you know, one of the key way to grow in love for God is prayer. Really important. Like St. Peter, he was imperfect, even after Jesus' resurrection, God the Father mentioned it to St. Catherine. But when he locked himself up with the other disciples and praying, you know, prayer helped him to become perfect, to grow from the imperfect love to the perfect love, the self-giving love. And God the Father especially mentioned, it's not just what we call vocal prayer, but it's important to have mental prayer. Pray with our mind, not just with our word. He mentioned that some people, you know, they are quite content. They say a certain number of prayer. When they recite all of them, they are happy. They thought they are done, you know. But it's not enough, you know. The prayer is meant to help our mind to pray. It's meant to help our mind to pray. So it's really important for us, you know, to have that mental prayer. And he also mentioned often during the time scheduled for prayer, the devil comes with all sorts of struggles and annoyances, even more than when you are not praying. He does this to make you weary of holy prayer. So sometimes the devil, you know, doesn't want to see us pray, you know. He wants to, you know, trouble us when we pray because he doesn't want us to pray at all. But we have to, you know, lock in the house of self-knowledge. It's just like the apostles lock themselves up and pray. And so we need to have that vocal prayer, you know, help us to have mental prayer, you know. Sometimes God might visit the people, you know, during their saying their prayer, with contemplation, in the gift of contemplation with his presence. He said, in that situation, it's okay that you stop praying the vocal prayer and turn to mental prayer, just with God, you know. It's okay, except if you pray the divine office, you know. Okay, because divine office for priests and religious is an obligation, then you shouldn't give up the divine office and not resume that later on, you know. So we have to say the office, you know. But also, when we say the vocal prayer, it's also important that when we are on our way to perfection, we take a long time to reach perfection, that we shouldn't give up vocal prayer. Because the Father mentioned that if we give up vocal prayer, you know, thinking, oh good, I just do mental prayer, you know, no vocal prayer necessary, so I don't have to say any more prayer. You will be easily fall into laziness. You know, because it will be like you just mental prayer and after a few mental prayer you just fall asleep and then you think, I got a good mental prayer. You know. So it's quite easy to fall into laziness. So God the Father, you know, still say, you know, if you are not perfect yet, you still need vocal prayer. You know. And I think most of us are not perfect yet. So I think we all need that vocal prayer. I think the beauty of the rosary is that people in different stages in spiritual life, they can make use of that beautifully. Some of them, you know, I would say we might be able to grow quite a bit, you know, even within the rosary, of our method of praying the rosary, you know. Sometimes some people, they are praying the rosary, their contemplation or meditation become more intense on God rather than on the details of the point of meditation. Some people, you know, in order to keep focus, they need point of meditation during rosary, you know. So many of the booklet have 10 points of rosary meditation for each decade, you know, to keep your mind focused, you know, which is really helpful. You know, so as we progress in spiritual life, sometimes we have to have that flexibility that the way we meditate can be different you know, as we grow. And so there are room to grow. When we pray the rosary, when we do our meditation, when we do a different way of praying, you know, there are room to grow, and we should, you know, continue to let God working in our heart. And so, you know, when we recite prayer, it's important that we also concentrate on the love of God. Think about that we are sinner, our sinfulness, but also the saving blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin. And so all those considerations also help us to make our prayer become a mental prayer, the prayer that not only of the lips, but also from the heart. Now, when thinking about, you know, it's so important to have that self-giving love for others, not to be selfish. I remember, you know, I there is a priest, I think in 1985, I forgot the exact year, he got into a major car accident. His name is Father Stephen, got into a major car accident. And if you Google, you know, close to death experience, you know, Father Stephen, I think you can find something on YouTube. That he gave his testimony. So, actually, people were praying the rosary for him, you know, he was in a car accident, and then he heard, like Gloria Polo, he heard himself being judged, you know. He was a priest, you know, he confessed, he gave testimony, on television, you know, that, you know, when I think he was from Ireland. And he said that he just like to be like the other, like an ordinary guy, you know. He just want to be not to be unpopular. So he said that when he preached, he just preached on peace, love, joy, you know. But he would not talk about doctrine or moral or church teachings, you know, because he didn't want to be unpopular with lack of collection, you know. So he was seeking himself, you know. And then he also have some unconfessed mortal sin. So he was not in a good state when when that accident happened. So he heard himself being judged by Jesus, you know, the thing that he did, and he had nothing to defend, but acknowledge that he actually did that is all true. And then at the end, he got the verdict from Jesus that he will be for eternity, his destiny will be in hell. And so but he knew that there's no appeal. But at that point, Our Lady voice was there to ask Jesus give him a chance. And then, but Jesus said to Our Lady, but he had been a priest, you know, for 12 years for himself. And then Our Lady, you know, asked Jesus, you know, if give him many graces, you know, and then he can change, you know, and then if he don't bear fruit, then you do to him whatever you want. And then Jesus said, so he's yours. Okay. So Jesus gave him a chance. So eventually he recovered. But when he woke up, he still didn't remember a single thing about that experience. But few months later, I think 8 months later at the Mass and the Gospel, you know, if it doesn't bear fruit, you know, that Gospel, suddenly he saw the word, you know, become so bright, you know, suddenly there's some miracle happened. On the test, that the test just become so clear to him, and then that memory came back to him, you know, of what happened when he was after the accident. Then he was a changed person, you know. He became much more dedicated and also gave testimony about that experience. So we think about ourselves, you know. It would be horrible if we go to Jesus and Jesus say, you have been living your life for like 60 years, like 70 years for yourself, you know. That would be hard to hear, right? So we have to think about, you know, we shouldn't just live our life for ourselves, but, you know, we live our life for Jesus, you know, for other people. That selfless love is what we should aim for. And so it's important for us to have that desire, you know, to grow in our love for Jesus. And so, you know, recap what we have learned tonight, you know, we learned about tonight that there's three stages in the spiritual life. First, you know, people serve God, you know, like mercenary, like slave, out of fear. They are afraid to go to hell, so they stay away from sin, they go to confession, they might come to Mass, you know, because they know they miss Mass, it's a mortal sin, so they come, you know, out of fear. But that oftentimes is not enough, because when they are only out of fear, when they can fall back you know, to sinful way easily if they are afraid of suffering. It's so easy for them to fall back. So they must move on to work on loving God. So second stage, you know, in perfect love, they love God, you know, but with self-interest. And oftentimes, those people would be easy to become lukewarm or lazy if they're lacking comfort. So oftentimes, if they are lacking spiritual comfort, spiritual consolation, they become impatient, they become more difficult. And then also, quite often, when their love for God is imperfect, their love for others also imperfect. And then the third stage is most perfect, when they are serving God with selfless love. And they are children of God, they are friends of God, and God shares His secret with them. And so the kind of attitude we give to God is the kind of love that we receive back from Him. Because that our capacity, you know, to receive His love. And because just like in the world, we only share secret with friends. So God shares His secret with those who love Him with selfless love, who treat Him as a father, who acting like really His children. And so it's important for us, no matter what stage, the main conclusion, no matter what stage we are at, it's so important that we aim to kill our selfish love and work for selfless love. And an important way to work on it is keep on praying, you know, the mental prayer. But also, of course, our perseverance in doing good, practicing virtues, also really important. Okay, I talked for 27 minutes. I should stop.